We'll just formally introduce our guest for this segment, who is somebody we had in quite a bit on our program as our international security expert. And that's Richard Steeden. Richard, welcome to the program again.
Thank you, Foster. Good to be here.
As always, good to have you online. And I have to say, and one of the things I'm hoping to be able to connect our folks with a link on our homepage, I listened to the webinar that you put on yesterday, I believe it was, a rather interesting one in which you had a pretty, I have to say, high-level discussion with somebody from Deloitte Touche, if I'm not wrong. Am I right?
Yeah, Lance James. He's the head of their cyber intelligence group now.
Yeah, yep, and no more Touche, just Deloitte.
Oh, just Deloitte now. Yep, okay, Blake, pardon. Yeah, I didn't work for them when they were Deloitte Touche. That's what wrong in my mind. Anyway, Richard, the key thing you talked about there was about the Heartbleed worm that has been out there now for 2 years. There's been a lot in the press. And folks, we're not going to try to go into a lot of the technical stuff that these folks did talk about before. What I want to look at, though, are some of the impact that it's had on us as users of the Internet. Let me just dive into a question that I saw on another blog recently, and the question was put up was, are passwords outdated and insecure? And has Heartbleed kind of shown us this?
Yeah, and, you know, we've all had that experience of some major site that we use being compromised and all the usernames and passwords published, you know, even if it's just the hashes, and we're all warned to change our passwords for everything.
Yes.
And Heartbleed is going to be like that in spades, and just exponentially worse, because it'll allow all these different sites to be hacked into and quite a few passwords. Not, you know, it's not easy to grab all the passwords, but it's possible.
Yeah.
So we're going to start getting warnings to change our passwords to everything once again.
Yeah.
And one of the things that bothers me is you might go change a password, you know, if you're not picking great passwords, you might, you know, use a little mnemonic that's pretty similar for every site. You might go and change a password at a site that has yet to be patched.
Ah, now that seems to be the Achilles heel. And the big difference in all of these is it's not one site. Like, for instance, during this week, what was it? Michael's, the shop where you go to get home decoration. They got hit and got, I think, 3 million of their passwords stolen. But that's an instance.
Well,
there, but hang on.
I don't know. You're saying 3 million.
Yeah. Well, that was what was in the news. That's all I know.
No.
That's what was reported.
3 million users. I believe what happens is that once they find a vulnerable site, they keep on attacking. And only people that logged in within that time frame of the attack are vulnerable.
And what I was trying to say was that's one site. What's happened with Heartbleed, and Richard, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the servers are getting hit with this thing. This is at a server level. Am I wrong on that, too?
Right. No, so you're absolutely right.
So it's only the companies that have used OpenSSL.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So a lot of companies don't do that, right?
Yes, right,
so
Rich.
There's a lot of companies that this doesn't affect at all.
Like Microsoft and
a bunch of companies than not are not affected, right? Mm-hmm. The companies that are using this open source SSL and open certificate, right? And those are the people that are affected. And it's only... now, this vulnerability's been around for 2 years and nobody knew it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Richard,
you know, let's make sure that we tell the right story here. Could you tell us what this is?
Yeah, so it, very simply, there's a capability built into OpenSSL, the thing that 16% of websites, according to Netcraft, use for
16%.
For establishing encryption session. And somebody 2 years ago, a German programmer, built in a little thing that you could use for kind of a heartbeat, a keep alive, where the browser keeps asking the server if it's still there kind of thing. And not everybody even implements that.
Right.
You don't really need
so
it.
So it's less than 16. Yep.
And it turns out that they did do some, you know, checking. And you can ask, not only do you ask it if it's alive, please send me an answer, but you tell it the length of answer you want. And if you tell it a really big answer that you want, like 64K, it'll give you that much out of memory. And so it's a, you know, it's a crapshoot whether or not it'll give you anything critical. But quite often it could give you the credentials for the website. And then the entire web server is vulnerable and the attackers could get in and take everything.
So what really happens, Richard, is that if you have a site that you haven't been to in a while, right, don't go to it until it's patched, and when you do go to it, you know, is it a good idea to change your password? Absolutely, it's a good idea to change your password.
Yeah.
But if your password isn't in memory, it can't pull it. It can only pull out of that server what's in memory.
Mm-hmm. But the question I have for you, Gary, you said don't go to it until it's patched. How do you know as the average consumer when it's patched?
Are there tools out there?
That is a trick.
Yeah. Are there tools out there, Richard, that we could use to check and see if a site we're going to has been patched before we go to it?
Yeah, tons of them. I'll send you a link to post for
excellent.
A good tool
thank
that you.
You
can trust.
Right. Okay, good. Well, we'll be posting that a little later on after the show. So, folks, that'll be in our show notes that you can then look at that and then
So I've had people say, oh, my God, I better go change all my passwords. I'm going, no. Don't do that till you know it's been patched, right?
Yeah, right.
Right. Okay.
Right.
So I just want to make sure that we don't scare people unnecessarily. This isn't good. There's no doubt about it. This is not good. But we don't know if any password information has been taken. Mm-hmm. It's whatever's in memory. And by the way, this little heartbeat, they have to come back with so much memory. So you might ask it instead of, you know, a very small amount, which is what was intended. Mm-hmm. You might ask for it to come back with, like Richard said, 64K of whatever. And whatever it is, you know, now the hacker gets that, right? But it might not
contain
any password information.
I did hear a story, however, guys, of one hacker who did that on a repeated basis and was able to gain enough information that they were able to get into the system and then get into root in some places.
Right.
That's bad.
But
right?
this was a persistent hacker who did. Richard, I have a question for you. You studied this. You've looked at international security. You've spoken on this all over the world. How did this stay missed for 2 years, or did it?
Yeah, whether or not it's stayed missed for 2 years is a question because
we
know that intelligence agencies, if they find a juicy vulnerability like this, will keep it to themselves. But the evidence that anybody has used it hasn't really come up yet. There's been a couple little inklings, but somebody would have to have recorded network traffic on the outside of their web server in order to detect that this has been happening because you can't see it in the web server logs. But I'm sure there are a lot of researchers digging into their logs right now.
First thing I think of is all these white hats where they say, proof of concept, come here, break into our system, we'll pay you $1 million if you're successful. I'd save this little goodie in my back pocket until I got another chance where someone was offering up another competition, and then I would, bam, I'd collect my $1 million.
We've seen a lot of activity, haven't we, from the hacker community once it was released that this was there?
Yeah, the hacking community started publishing vulnerable sites, doing everything they could. The most interesting activity was just released by a company called Mandiant, who, of course, is kind of famous for looking at nation-state attacks, Chinese attacks against their customers, who are usually governments and defense contractors. And on the 8th of April, so day after this vulnerability was announced, they saw attackers breaking into VPN concentrators and stealing credentials.
Wow.
Using this technique.
Yeah.
So definitely out there being used by the bad guys. Yeah.
So there's a patch if you want to patch this.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a server that's running OpenSSL, you can patch it quite easily. So companies, now there are big companies that have lots of servers, and that's really the problem, right?
Yeah, right.
Takes a while to get through them all. Isn't that right, Richard?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and then the next phase of this will be all the places, as with all new vulnerabilities, all the places we had no idea that OpenSSL was running. So we'll find out people were connecting to power stations and pumping stations, and probably somebody had the bright idea of adding security to the smart grid so your home power meter be using it. So we'll discover that over the next few weeks.
Yeah, but most companies like that, they're not using that open source, that free version, right?
No. Now, Richard, by the way, we'll post your webinar and also those links again. Thanks so much for being with us, Rich.